You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January 3rd, 2020, Secretary of State Pompeo says the message has been delivered to Iran and other nations around the world. This president will take decisive action if needed, swift, decisive actions to protect Americans. He's talking, of course, about the airstrike on the Baghdad airport last night that killed the Iranian General Soleimani. The Iranian general had flown into Iraq to foment more violence against Americans and our U.S. embassy. And we had word that he's working on another attack of some type, imminent. And then we got word he was flying into the airport. We watch from a drone as he gets off his plane, heads to the cars, and we fire and killing him. And, of course, Iran is vowing now harsh retaliation, saying the great nation of Iran will take revenge for this heinous crime. Soleimani, of course, responsible for something like 6,000 attacks upon U.S. and allied forces and 600 American deaths. But the great nation of Iran considers his death a heinous crime. Iran's already stepped up. The Iranian leader, supreme leader, already announcing a replacement. Next up. Wouldn't you like to be given that call? Hey, I got a job for you. This is Soleimani's deputy commander since 97. He's now going to take over. In other words, you're the next target. Who wants that job? Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, echoing again what many Democrats and nonsense moisters and mummerers and noisemakers make all around us, and that is, we weren't consulted. They're like babies crying in a nursery. We weren't consulted in advance that you're going to take out Soleimani. Senator Lindsey Graham responding, saying the last persons you want to let know that this is going to happen is Democrats and even some Republicans. We also have a UN special envoy arguing the President Trump-approved drone strike violated international human rights law. That's right, saying it was a targeted assassination, illegal, wrong, wrong, wrong. Consider the source and let it go. More than 200 members of Congress asking the Supreme Court to reconsider the 73 Roe v. Wade decision. Of course, that created a right to abortion, though none existed in the Constitution. The lawmakers are all Republicans, but also a couple of Democrats signing off on that. So you would think anybody working on cancer research would want to help the whole world. The whole world. Well, maybe not. Or maybe they're looking at additional monies to be made. Why not? Make money on those who are suffering. A Harvard University medical student from China was working in a research lab at a Boston hospital. And he smuggled some vials of research material into a sock, which he packed into his suitcase before attempting to fly to China. They stopped him before he got out of the country. And, of course, now is being charged on federal counts of stealing cancer research, planning to take it to China. Bill Gates calling for higher taxes on the ultra-wealthy Americans. Bill Gates is the second richest person in the world. He says, I think we should have more taxes on those ultra-wealthy. That's fine by me. Hey, Marianne Wilson, another candidate running for the White House. The writing is on the wall. She's one of the Democrat presidential primary candidates. She's now laid off her entire presidential campaign staff. She said, I'm not exiting. I'm not suspending my candidacy. However, campaign, not having a huge war chest, should not be what determines its fate. And is now saying that I'm laying off the entire presidential campaign staff. As I said, the writing was on the wall. I mean, what did they think was going to happen? When you get Bloomberg coming in, spending all the money he's been doing without even trying to raise money, Julian Castro dropping out yesterday, Marianne Wilson is not too far behind. Williamson is going to any day now say, bye. It should be no surprise. I know none of you will be surprised when it happens. A dozen women in California agreed to take part in a porn movie. They were willing to take part in the porn movie. Then they found out, instead of just being shown on some other source they were expecting, it ends up on the internet, and they sue. They say, we didn't mind doing porn for the movie, but we don't want to do it for the internet. They're winning $13 million. $13 million for porn they agreed to do, and then say, but not on the internet.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I got to tell you, last night when I saw the news breaking that President Trump had ordered the strike to kill the Iranian Quds leader, Soleimani, I was extremely happy. Now, in the beginning, as the reports were breaking, you just heard reports that rockets had hit the airport at Baghdad, killing him. And I wasn't sure at that time as to what was he doing in Baghdad. He's an Iranian military leader. Well, of course, we understand and know that he's also had terrorist acts carried out in Iran and Iraq and elsewhere around the world under his direction. And then most recently, of course, the attacks upon our U.S. consulate in Baghdad, Iraq, carried out by Iranians. So he was directing that. And so then he shows up at the airport. And what he was planning for the next stage, I don't know if we will ever be given the full story, but according to the White House and Pentagon, and even Senator Lindsey Graham who had been briefed on some of it, it was going to be an imminent, direct threat to American personnel. And President Trump gave the green light. If you get them in your sights, take them out. And as he arrived apparently on his plane from either Syria or Iraq, not sure exactly where it originated, but then as it landed at Baghdad Airport International, and taxied off to an area for a waiting area, and various cars began to gather to take him and other staff members to another location. As he apparently began to come down the steps, all hell rained down, and good. A drone above watching and releasing rockets. Now, put in contrast to that, the Iranian dictator, Ali Khamenei, had tweeted out just the other day saying that Trump has no courage, no ability to do anything. That's pretty much what he was saying. This all goes back to originally just a few days. It was more than that. It goes much, much deeper than that. The most recent history, we had a military group, including U.S. military civilian contractors and U.S. civilian contractors at a base in Iraq, and it got shelled. And a U.S. citizen was killed, and some of our troops injured, and others also injured. Our response was then to launch air attacks upon targets inside Syria and Iraq. And then we had the protesters show up at our embassy in Baghdad, described by the New York Times, by the way, as mourners, grieving that they had had someone killed in those airstrikes, which took out 25 lives. They weren't mourners. They were protesters. They were terrorists. But they showed up and they began to shout and protest and try to get in our embassy, and the Iraqi guards that supposedly are going to protect our embassy and personnel apparently stepped aside and let them in. But we held them off, and the U.S. immediately sent in 100 Marines and Apache helicopters. So then they left. So in the background of all of that, Soleimani decides he's brazen enough and brave enough and he can do whatever the hell he wants because this administration, Trump administration, isn't going to do anything. He flies into Baghdad himself. Maybe he was counting on what his Iranian leader had said the couple days before, because Trump had responded that Iran will be held responsible for all lives lost or damage incurred at all of our facilities. That was reference the attack upon our consulate in Baghdad. He said they will pay a very big price. This is not a warning. It's a threat. Well, then the Iranian dictator al-Khamenei responded, that guy, talking about Trump, has tweeted that we see Iran responsible for the events in Baghdad, and we will respond to Iran. First, you can't do anything. Well, I think we just saw that Trump can and did. And we got a Democrat congressman, senator, Charles Murphy of Connecticut, who had 2 days ago been complaining about President Trump's actions dealing with our embassy in Baghdad, suggesting he wasn't doing enough to protect our Americans. He basically was saying this president is inept and saying America's been reduced to huddling in safe rooms, hoping the bad guys will go away. What a disgrace. That was 2 days ago. And now, after this attack upon the Soleimani and the assassination of him and some of his staff, now this Democrat senator is claiming Trump is too aggressive. The guy's not going to win, regardless of what he does. You do understand that. Another 2020 Democrat candidates rushing forward, attacking Trump for ordering the strike. And Nancy Pelosi saying, we were never told. Congress should have been informed. You know what the Iraqis did once word got out that Soleimani had been killed at Baghdad airport? Here's Secretary of State Pompeo.
We watched last night. You saw the video of Iraqis dancing in the streets. They're happy, too. The absence of Qasem Soleimani is a boon to this region. And we reduced risk last night. It was very clear that we did so. And we will continue to take actions to reduce risk and to protect Americans. President Trump's been very clear about that. And nothing is different today than it was yesterday with respect to that.
So the Iraqis are happy. They've been fighting to... Their government is in shambles again right now. It's not clear who's in charge in Iraq right now. And maybe that's why Soleimani thought, I can fly into Baghdad and I can begin to take over Iraq on behalf of Iran. And so you get all the Democrats now saying that Trump should not have done that. What was he just supposed to let him show up, do what he wants, and carry out any additional attacks against us? And when you get Nancy Pelosi and others saying, we were never informed, we did not get word, no one called us, no one said anything to us, Senator Graham has a direct response for them.
The last group of people you want to talk to about this is Democrats in Congress, Republicans in Congress, okay? As to Omar, this is not a distraction. What President Trump did is save thousands or hundreds of American lives and our allies. The attacks that they were planning against American interests were real. The rocketing of the compound killing the contractor was foreshadowing of what was to come. To all those Democrats who are criticizing the president, I was aware of what his options were. They were about to unleash holy hell on our people in Iraq and throughout the region, and the president decisively took action.
And when you heard Senator Graham refer to Omar, he's talking about Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who accused President Trump of killing the Iranian military leader just as a distraction from his domestic political issues, the impeachment and the election coming up, trying to get more votes. That's how they see it. This is how much these Democrats hate this country. They hate this country. They hate this president. No, Larry, you're too far. That's gone too far. Well, let me put it this way. They hate this president so much that they're not showing a love for the country and what we need to do when we do it. Does that make it clear to you? There are many out there who definitely hate Trump and they hate this America right now. They do. Because it's being run by a guy who's trying to make us better. I mean, the very fact that you got this Democrat congressman, the other, what was it? Let me go back to his name here. Murphy. Senator, I should say. Senator Murphy. Complaining the other day that Trump's not doing enough to protect our embassy in Baghdad. And he's trying to suggest, this is Trump's Benghazi. This is nowhere like Benghazi in what was happening. We weren't having rocket-propelled grenades fired into our embassy. And it's also nowhere like Benghazi because we're stepping forward and dealing with it as opposed to running around not sure what to do, Hillary Benghazi Clinton. And Senator Murphy, who serves on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, stating, the attack on our embassy in Baghdad is horrifying but predictable. Trump has rendered America impotent in the Middle East. No one fears us. No one listens to us. America has been reduced to hiding in safe rooms, hoping the bad guys will go away. What a disgrace. His remarks 2 days ago. 2 days ago. And then when Trump takes action, he's too aggressive. Many of the experts are saying taking out Soleimani is more important than taking out Osama bin Laden in retrospect, or al-Baghdadi, that this guy is a greater and a more continuing threat than they were. And yet here comes Ben Rhodes, former national security aide to President Barack Obama, who helped negotiate the Iran nuclear deal. And at that time, Soleimani led the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps, CUD Force. But Ben Rhodes and the Obama administration were doing what they could with Iran to get some legacy for Obama, that he was leaving office saying, I got Iran to agree to not build any more nuclear weapons anytime soon. Not forever, but anytime soon, they're going to agree to this agreement, and they never did. In fact, when the full narrative was published by the U.S., immediately the Iranians said, that's not what it said. And they denied it and refuted some of it, and it's yet to ever been enforced. And that's why Trump decided, we're out of here. We're pulling the plug on it. This country, under this president, did not ship millions of dollars overnight on pallets in a plane to Iran. This president did not buy hostages out of Iran. This president has made it clear, we will take action against you. We're not going to buy your story that you're going to make things better for your people. Like your nuclear facility, but because you're actually trying to build nuclear weapons. And then there comes a question about, well, what authority does the president have to carry out, quote, an assassination? Osama bin Laden, that case came up with Obama. And he had a group of lawyers. Four top administration lawyers, counsel to the Pentagon, CIA, and others, prepare a written memorandum on the various aspects, legality, of capturing and or killing bin Laden to carry out an assassination of bin Laden. We still don't know what the final result of those orders were because they've still been buried. They're not being made public yet. But they were drafted at the request of President Obama. And when Osama bin Laden was killed, did we hear complaints from Democrats and questioning, how can you do that? And did you do it right? And was it legal? Did you hear any complaints at all? And even Republicans, including this conservative, was glad that Osama bin Laden had been taken out. And I was glad President Obama gave the go-ahead. You didn't hear me questioning and challenging him on it whatsoever. Just because it was not the president I elected, I supported our commander-in-chief for the decision and the troops he sent in. It is too much to ask Democrats to have the same approach with this president. Because I said earlier, their hate for Trump is greater than their love for this country. And there's nothing Trump is ever going to do that's going to be right. And when Trump ordered that assassination last night, if one of these Democrats had been in the line and they could have made some noise over it, they would have sounded the bell, I'm sure, and he would have gotten out and still been alive. Yeah, I'm right. I know. I just said it. I said they would have committed treason and let the guy know that we're coming after him so he could escape. Sue me. You say I'm making it up? Yeah, I'm making it up to that extent, but I don't doubt that some would. Do you think Congresswoman Omar would be silent if she knew we're getting ready to target a drone onto Soleimani? Do you think so? Not likely. And again, some are asking, well, why this guy? Why? What was so important about him? And it's not just his history. It was what apparently was going to happen next. That story's still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot your eye down. Take you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We killed the most powerful man in Iran short of the Ayatollah. He was the right fist of the Ayatollah, and we took the Ayatollah's arm off.
That is Senator Lindsey Graham about the assassination of Iranian General Soleimani, as President Trump gave an order to hit him with drone missiles at the Baghdad airport as he arrived. Several experts agreeing that the death of Soleimani is greater and more significant than al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden's death or ISIS leader Abu Baghdadi, that it's greater than either of those, stating that this guy had a hell of a lot of power, a hell of a lot of control, and he's responsible for something like 600 U.S. deaths, 6,000 attacks on U.S. and allied forces. But Senator Graham stresses, we did not do this strictly for revenge.
This is not an act of revenge for what he'd done in the past. This was a preemptive defensive strike plan to take out the organizer of attacks yet to come. The intelligence was very strong that Soleimani was orchestrating chaos in Iraq at our expense and throughout the region. The president was informed of these potential attacks, and he acted. This was a defensive strike to neutralize future attacks that were being planned and executed by Soleimani and the Popular Mobilization Front, the Shiite militias in Iraq. So this was a preemptive attack to let everybody in the world know, from North Korea, just anybody else, that if you come after Americans on President Trump's watch, you do so at your peril.
Good. Message delivered with force. And here come the Democrat hounds and whiners and babies. Congresswoman Omar. So what if Trump wants war, knows this leads to war, and needs the distraction? In other words, he killed Soleimani just to distract all the attention from the impeachment, as if that's a big concern. The papers haven't even been delivered to the Senate. Give me a break. And then you got others saying, why did Trump kill Soleimani now? Preventative strike? Election strategy? I vote ego. That's what one said. You just heard Senator Graham say, and I'm all for revenge on a guy like this. Make sure you understand that. I would not have one bit of hesitation if I got in my sights to take him out for revenge. But in this case, apparently, we were doing it because we had additional details of what he was planning to do, and we were not going to allow him to move forward. If a guy is brazen enough to fly into Baghdad airport, he's the Iranian military leader. He's now in Baghdad, and Iraq is in shambles currently anyway. If he's brazen enough to fly in there, what do you think he was planning to do? And the U.S. Pentagon acknowledging another 3,000 additional troops will be deployed as tensions with Iran mount. We're not looking to get into ground war. We're not looking to have additional casualties of any type like that. But we are going to be prepared, and we have made it clear. We will protect American interest. We will not back down. We will not draw a line in the sand and said, okay, let's try another line in the sand. We're going to be following this through the weekend. Of course, I have more on this story coming up next week as it develops. I'm going to take a turn on the next break, and let's deal with something else that you need to know about. Some new bail laws in one state. You don't live there, but if you go there, you're at risk. I'll explain.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrury.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As of January 1, a new series of laws went into effect in New York State. And they're already creating havoc. It deals with bail reform laws. They are, in the words of one congressman, Lee Zeldin, Republican of New York, a disaster. A disaster. And we got several cases right here that can prove some of it. But let me give you one case very quickly. Then we'll get into a couple others. There's a 41-year-old who got arrested on 2 days after Christmas. Got arrested, accused of robbing a bank 2 days after Christmas. This is a convicted bank robber. A convicted bank robber. Let me give you his background. He's been convicted of robbing banks in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, 2005, sentenced to 4 years in prison for bank robberies committed in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, 2011, sentenced to about 5 years in prison for a bank robbery committed in New York, December 2017, released from prison. Now, some of you are thinking, well, Larry, you're talking about New York, Pennsylvania. That doesn't bother you. It does. It does bother you and should affect you if you have relatives or friends there or going into those areas. Are you going into that area? Because here's what happened. He's arrested, accused of robbing a bank 2 days after Christmas. On New Year's Eve, he's released from jail without bail, thanks to the New York new bail reform laws. No bail. He's convicted. He's got a track record I just ran through, and he's released without bail because this new law allows individuals accused of second-degree manslaughter, aggravated vehicular assault, third-degree assault, promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child, possessing an obscene sexual performance by a child, promoting a sexual performance by a child, failure to act as a sex offender, aggravated vehicular homicide. Those are some of the crimes that you can be set free now without a bail in New York State. New York State Assemblywoman Nicole Malaticos describes it as a dangerous law.
It was a dangerous law that was passed in the middle of the night by Governor Cuomo and the state legislature. And basically, it makes a whole slew of crimes, whether in some cases hate crimes, coercion, menacing, stalking, aggravated assault, aggravated harassment, assault of a child, all crimes that will go no bail beginning January. But what's really disturbing about this law, in addition to those crimes that are eligible, is the fact that they don't consider someone's criminal history. A person can have two dozen prior arrests, as we saw with the police officer that was punched in Brooklyn. The guy was had two dozen prior arrests, released back onto the street with no bail. By the way, that judge was appointed by Bill de Blasio. And in addition to that, you see incidents like an illegal immigrant in Rockland County on Christmas Eve who was driving illegally. He was driving unlicensed. He hit a woman. She died. And they caught him. He confessed. He left the scene, by the way. They caught him. He confessed. And they released him with no bail.
New York State Assemblywoman Nicole Malotukas. And she and others are saying this thing signed off in the middle of the night and promoted and encouraged by Bill de Blasio and all the other leftist liberals and, you know, poor trigger people that are worried that somebody, some snowflake might be hurt, that they're trying to, they think, make things better. The executive director of the Brooklyn Defender Services says, well, this is good. These new bail laws result in a much more humane and likely more effective outcome. That's what they're intended to do. Really? Really? Well, now, you know they've been talking about the escalation of anti-Semitism, especially in New York. Now, you would think that anybody arrested on anti-Semitism, especially after the assault upon the rabbi's house on the last night of Hanukkah, that they'd be tougher on them. No. No, and I'll give you an example here. A woman by the name of Tiffany Harris, I could care less about her name, but I'll give it to you anyway, was arrested for attacking three Jewish women in Brooklyn December 27th. She got released on bail. Without bail, I should say. Got arrested the next day for another assault. Again, released without bail. Got arrested the next day. Ordered to meet with a social worker. Got arrested again because she assaulted the social worker. That's the New York bail reform laws. And Governor Cuomo, of course, had been talking about how he's trying to make things better for his city and his nation, I mean his state, and especially while standing outside the rabbi's home where that attack took place, where the guy with the machete went in and started hacking away, thank goodness killed no one. Governor Cuomo insisting, we're going to treat this as domestic terrorism. We're not going to let this stuff happen. Well, one of his own councilmen said, with all due respect, Governor, I don't care what you call it, if 95% of the perpetrators are released hours after they commit attacks, it'll keep happening. Until you show Jewish New Yorkers you have our backs, not with words but with actions, how can we feel safe? And the question for you, my friend, do you go to New York? You ever been out there to visit? You plan on going up? Got friends, relatives? Surely you've got somebody that either is in New York State at some point or traveling through or visiting someone, or maybe you plan on going. Criminals are aware that they can assault and attack you right now. And if they get arrested, they're not going to be locked up. They're just not going to be put away at that point. They'll be freed without bail. New York State Assemblywoman Malotukas is making it very clear to what it means to you.
You have now, after these anti-Semitic attacks, and knowing that hate crimes are going to be eligible now for no bail, the Jewish community is being very vocal. We need every resident in New York State, those who have family in New York State, those who want to visit New York State and be safe in the future, need to call New York State Governor Andrew Cuomo's office today and tell him to stop this bail law. Let's address the issue of giving everyone a constitutionally protected right to a speedy trial, but let's not have a blanket no bail policy.
So what actually have they done? See, previously, New York prosecutors would determine whether to make a bail recommendation or agree to have the defendant released on their own recognizance. In other words, you might not have to post a bail. We know you are. We know we can find you, and it's not that big of a deal. And if the crime's not a felony or it's a misdemeanor, they can make a determination of what they suggest. The judge can make a final determination. Defense attorneys typically argue that any bail would be inappropriate or it has to be at a low amount. Under this new law, that process no longer takes place for most of the cases. I just ran down a litany of cases that would now be bail-free. And I didn't cover all of them. You heard the state assemblywoman say it also includes hate crimes. You're arrested on a hate crime, no, you don't have to post bail. Under this new law, that process no longer takes place for a majority of crimes. Courts are now prohibited, not as an option, but are prohibited from setting any monetary bail whatsoever, are keeping defendants in custody before trial in almost every type of misdemeanor case, and a long list of felonies. Bail is forbidden in cases including robbery, burglary, hate crimes, third-degree assault as a hate crime, stalking while committing a sex offense, various degrees of arson. That's a get-out-of-jail-free card on every one of those. I told you in the beginning of this about the bank robber, three different convictions, serving time, and is arrested for another bank robbery suspect, and they release him without, and they don't even look at his record. And that's because even in cases where bail is permitted now, judges are no longer allowed to take into account the severity of the allegations or the possible danger the defendant may pose if released. The only criteria they can put in front of themselves is, this guy going to be a flight risk who would fail to make future court appearances? And if they can convince a judge, yep, I'll be back. I'll be back. What do you want me? You want me back 30 days from here at 8 a.m.? I'll be here. They can set them free. No bail money whatsoever. No one held accountable. You're free to roam about the country. My friend, this is not just things like a traffic violation or you got a speeding ticket you didn't show up for. We're talking about, I'll point out to you again, hate crimes, robbery, burglary, assault charges, stalking, various degrees of arson, aggravated vehicular assault, second-degree manslaughter, and then these involving children. I cannot believe that they're just letting this roll through. You have no bail posted. You need to post no bail if you're charged with promoting an obscene sexual performance by a child. If you possess an obscene sexual performance by a child. If you promote a sexual performance by a child, no bail. Come on in, stand in front of the judge, say, I'll be back, I'll be here. And they're not even taking consideration, well, have you been booked previously for sexual abuse of children or any other porn charges involving children? No, can't look at that. Can't look at that. You got to look at what I am right here. The only criteria is, will I be back? And I just told you I'll be back. Somebody thought this would be a good idea. Somebody thought this would be a good idea. You know who thought this would be a good idea? Those who don't have to deal with those who are released on no bail and out on the streets. Those in guarded houses and guards around them. In the state house. In the governor's house. Because they don't think they'll be bothered. You? If anything happens, you're just going to be collateral damage. We'll take a break. When we come back, an atheist group is asking the IRS to investigate a Florida church because it hosted evangelicals for Trump. If you're going to raise money for Trump, you're going to be under investigation. We've been through this before with the IRS, and apparently they want to see it happen again. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, you got this group out of Wisconsin, a Wisconsin-based atheist agnostic group, Freedom From Religion Foundation. urging the IRS to investigate a Miami church that's hosting a 2020 campaign event for President Trump, claiming this would be illegal campaign intervention activities, so forth, blah, 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 separation states, so forth. You know where they're going with that. We saw this previously. If you remember the rogue agents, IRS agents, at any time some group had a name Tea Party in it or Patriot in it, that they were suddenly subjected to new IRS inquiries, investigations, and being denied tax-exempt status simply because they had that in their name. They're coming back around again, trying it again to do what they can, thinking that would stop the Trump train. Not going to. Oh, I have to apologize to you. I am extremely sorry. I failed to do this the other day, and if you violated this resolution, then it's on me. Tell everybody, Larry didn't tell me in time. People, for the ethical treatment of animals, PETA, or as I call it, my PETA group is the people eat tasty animals. The other PETA had been pushing for you to pledge that you will not eat any animals or animal products for this entire month. I know we're already January 3rd. Larry, you're telling me late. I know. I'm sorry. They wanted to have it called veganuary. I can't even get this word out. It's supposed to be January, but veg in front. Veganuary is a month when people around the world pledge to go vegan. Well, see, you should have known that if you're on it. Not just me, but yeah, I did not tell you about that you're supposed to make a resolution that this month you would not eat any animal or animal product. And so if you violated it, well, you can blame me. That's fine. Or you can, here's what, do this. What are we, January 3rd? Start your veganuary today and conclude it on February, whatever you want to call it. Okay? Get your 30 days in or whatever. And therefore, if you do that, if each vegan would do that, would spare so many animals, and there'd be more for the rest of us. I knew you weren't going to like that. Those all of you vegan nuts. Listen, I had no problem with vegans. I got some friends who are vegans, and that's fine. My problem is, when you get groups like this that insist I have to eat their way, I don't tell them how to eat or what not to eat, do you? I don't care what you eat. I just don't really care. I was at an event over the weekend. Somebody brought in pickled herring. I've never had it in my life, and looking at it, I thought, I'm not going to have it in my life. That's when I became a PETA member, the people for treatment, ethical treatment for animals. All right, I promised this earlier, and I got to deliver it. So here's the way this goes. A guy with a goat goes to a porn store. Not the beginning of a joke, it's a fact. With a little detail added to it, let me add this. It's a guy and his pet goat are with another guy in a truck. And the guy that owns the pet goat gets kind of sleepy, he falls asleep. Well, the guy that's driving the truck said, I want to stop. He stops at a porn store, leaving the guy and his pet goat in the truck. Well, here comes a guy, apparently high on meth, walking around looking, I need a ride out of here, man. And he sees this truck, and it's open. The key's in it. I guess it's running. They got a guy in there sleeping with his goat. The guy, high on meth, decides, this must be my ride. So he gets into the vehicle. Well, the guy wakes up that has a goat. Hey, what are you doing? And the carjacker, high on meth, also has a pistol and begins beating the guy. Tells him, shut up. And shut the goat up while you're at it. This all took place outside an adult video store in Carthage, Missouri. The driver had left the truck, went inside, leaving his friend and the pet goat in the truck asleep. And that's when this 40-year-old jumped in and said, my ride is here. Here we go. So then he has... he's not only committed a carjacking. He's not only committed kidnapping. Nope, you got ahead of me. Man-capping and kidnapping. And now he's driving them all around trying to figure out where to go. They go to Oklahoma. And he decides, you know, I've had enough of this guy and the goat, so I want them out of the truck. And he drops them off. Well, then the victim and his goat go somewhere and find a 911 call and get police notified, and they track him down. And they find the guy. And they've got OnStar on the vehicle, so they're able to slow the truck speed down to 15 miles an hour so they can make sure he stops. And he does. And when he stops, the guy, high still on meth, runs from the car. They find him in the weeds. He's arrested, charged with kidnapping. That's not the goat napping yet. Pointing firearms. Felony possession of a firearm. He's already got numerous felony convictions, and now he's got all of this. And then he's got to sit in a jail cell and tell somebody the story that, hey, man, you won't believe. I get in this truck. There's a guy and there was a pet goat outside the porn store. What was I supposed to think? It must be my ride. I took it, and now I'm in here. See? There's a danger to getting into meth. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time. Same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.